Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. So, as you know, every Monday we speak to people who are making a difference in this country very quietly, some you may not even know, but who are doing absolutely amazing work. And today we have a lady that had a wonderful job. Maybe it wasn't so wonderful, but anyway, who had a job and was going about her business and started a shelter in her home right here under our noses in Kempton Park, and has been recognized the world over for the wonderful work she's doing. And this is only a couple of years old. She opened the shelter in 2019. Look at that, in 2019. And the impact has been quite something, recognized around the world. She is a founder of Tsogofatso Rona, a welfare and community organization. Her name is Cynthia Dinalane, who is on the line with us this evening. Ma'am, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome to Point of View.
Good evening, my dear.
Well, thank you so much. And congratulations on all the awards that you've been receiving. I'm not going to count them because it would be more than one. All that matters is that the world is celebrating with you for the wonderful work that you're doing. I want you to take us back to how you got here, because I'm told it was only in 2019 when you opened the shelter, but you were doing other things before that. You had a job, you had a bit of a feeding scheme going on. Tell us about that.
Yes, I was working at the municipality of Ekurhuleni, and then I resigned and I started the feeding scheme. When I was busy with my feeding scheme, that's where I saw a need of opening a shelter for abused women and children in Kempton Park. Because we don't have a shelter for abused women and children in Kempton Park, Tembisa, and the rate is very, very, very high. And then I decided that, no, let me rather open my house for our victims so that I can make change in other people's lives. Unlike waiting for the government, my friends, to give us shelter while our women and children are killed and raped every day.
And what brought the idea of a shelter? As you were saying, it was a feeding scheme that you had started. How did you realize the need was so great?
When I was busy with my feeding scheme project, you'll find a woman abused. Then you ask a woman, why don't you go home? Said, no, I don't have anywhere to go. Because my family will start criticizing me, stigmatizing me, so then I don't have anywhere. I just have to stay with this man till I die. Then I said, no, this won't happen. The other day, you are sitting down, you get a call that there's a child in one of the areas in Tembisa that has been raped. They took the womb out, the legs are broken. Then I said, no, Cynthia, stand up and do something for your community. So I started the shelter. I opened my house. I spoke to my kids that can you please allow me to accommodate these people? They said, if it makes you happy, then it's fine. Then that's where I started.
You spoke to your kids to allow you to open your own home for strangers.
Because it's their own space.
Yeah, for strangers. I mean, was it an easy decision for you? It sounds to me like this was automatic. You saw a problem, you wanted to solve a problem. How easy was the reality of that solution?
You know, when I wanted to open it, it was easy. But when I start getting victims, yo, my dear, it was not easy. Remember, they'll bring a rape child fresh from the rape scene. The police hospital is Cynthia's house. So the child is bleeding, the child is crying, and then after that it's a woman, the woman is in pain, the woman is devastated, crying, and you must take care of all those kind of people, and you must be kind to them, you must allow them to scream and do all this in front of you. So it's hard, it was hard and it's still hard.
And your family, Cynthia, who have to live with this themselves?
Yeah, they adjusted. They adjusted because, you know, when we had children, then I'll ask my daughter or my sons to help me. Mm. That was before I can even have someone to help me because it was only the three of us. Mm. So they helped me, even though you can see that I'm putting them in a tight corner. Mm. But at the end of the day, they were saying, Mom, as long as you are happy, as long as this makes you happy, then we'll tolerate everything. So now they are used to that. And I think I did a good job by allowing them to help me. Remember, we've got people that have started all this organization. Today, they are no more. Mm. And the organization are not working anymore because they never taught their children to do all this kind of work.
Mm. Cynthia, how do you get support financially and otherwise?
My darling, financially, zero. And then in terms of food, the community will bring food and then other companies will just bring food for the children and sanitary pads for the girls to use. This is how we survive. We survive by donations. And now we've got a gentleman by the name of Mr. Nyati. He's owning a Nyati Foundation organization. He said to me, Cynthia, I'm here for you now. I'm going to help you. And then even now, for me to come for me to come to Ghana, he's the one who paid my ticket flights. So we need people like Mr. Nyati in our country that says we are here for the needy.
You are registered with Social Development. Did that help?
Ah, my darling, I'm going to call a spade a spade. You know what? I'm registered with social development, but my problem is I don't want their funding.
Okay.
Their funding has lots of terms and conditions that I don't agree with. Mm. If they say to me, Cynthia, you stay with a woman for 6 months, mm-hmm. after 6 months she must go. Mm. I'm asking them, where must that woman go?
Mm-hmm.
Where must she go? Back to the perpetrator or back to the street to be raped and come back again? If a child is 18 years, she must leave. Mm. To where?
Yeah.
Right now, I've got a child that matriculated last year. She's 18. She's at the University of Fort Hare.
Mm-hmm.
Four distinctions from that same organization.
Wow.
When she comes back for school holiday, she comes to our house because she knows that that's where, that is her place. So there are things that when we do, we mustn't say, we need money. And then at the end of the day, that money will cost other people's lives. Remember, if I send a woman out after 6 months, no job, no skills, no nothing, then what's going to happen? So now, since I've started this organization, my darling, I've helped more than 87 women to stand on their own. Today, they're outside there, working, living their life, their gender-based violence free, with no help from the government, with the little and limited resources that we have in the house. So as I'm saying, if they come with those conditions, I'm sorry, I won't be able to take their funding. I can stay with this woman. Let us suffer together. But one day God will help the destiny help us to come and help us.
You know, it sounds to me like all of this came so naturally to you. Were you always someone that cared for others? You know, you had the feeding scheme. How did that come about?
You know, I had a feeding scheme because I saw that there was a need of us giving people food because there's a lot of people that are unemployed in Tembisa, lot of people that are unemployed in Kempton Park. So I grew up in a house or in a home where my mom will take a person from the street to come and give her a shelter in the house. She says, sleep here. And then you'll go tomorrow and go and look for your people. By then we are scared that, Mama, what if this person is going to rape us? Or what if he's going to steal from us? He'll tell us that, no, God is our strength. Nothing will happen to you. And nothing happened to us. So I thought my mom was too much and was not protecting me, not knowing that she's teaching me something that I must do also to other people.
And so, as you were saying, this came so naturally to you. The space that you have, you keep bringing people in. What's the capacity that you have? It's still just your home, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's still just my home. Yo, there's a lot of people that are in that house. I cannot mention numbers because they'll come tomorrow and arrest us.
Oh, my goodness.
But there's a lot of people. And I've got children that are raped from the age of 3 years to 18 years. Mm. And then amongst those children, I've got a child that was raped more than 16 times. She's 13 years old. She's using Pampers. Her uterus is damaged.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've got women that I'm staying with that were raped, and they took razor blades, they cut their private parts, they put chilies in them, in their private parts. So, my dear, you come to my house, you come to the shelter, you'll go there being sick. You are going to get sick because of all the stories that we'll hear from there. You see a two-year-old girl that was raped, that couldn't even walk when they bring that child in the house. But today she's walking, she's playing like as if nothing happened to her. This is what I want. This is what I want to see all the children that are going through a lot to forget about what happened to them and live a happy life.
Where do you get your own strength from?
From God, my dear. I tried going to the psychologist for debriefing and all. When you come back and sit down, you'll see a police car at the gate with a worst case scenario. So it doesn't help for me to go for all this debriefing. The only thing, sometimes it hurts. I just close my door and cry, wipe my tears and go out again.
What has this whole experience taught you about yourself?
It has taught me that in life, never ever depend on someone that will take advantage of you. Mm. We've got women that we're staying with. Mm. All this abuse happened because of depending on men. Mm. So if we can teach ourselves as women to stand on their own, on our own, sell tomatoes, sell whatever, because if a man can buy you pads, roll on or clothes, he thinks he's got the right to do anything or everything that he wants with you. So it has taught me a lot, and that in life you need to be disciplined, you need to be focused. When you want to do things in life, you must know your worth as a woman also. Not only women that are abused, I've got also men that are abused, my dear. Mm. But they're not staying in our shelter. I go and visit them because we don't have a shelter for abused men. This is what I'm working on. Even now here in Ghana, I was telling them that, please help me. I need to open a shelter for abused men in South Africa.
Maybe expand a bit. I know, you know, that it's early days for you. Explain, when you say abused, what are you seeing? What comes through your door, even though you don't keep them in your home?
Hey, the other one came wearing a jockey with no clothes. I was like, yo, there's kids here. What's happening? I have to take a towel and give that man. The woman burned her clothes because she demands her bank card. There's a lot of abuse. Men have been beaten outside there. Men is taking pap and soup to work. The woman is having their cards, their bank cards, and they're telling them, you'll not have your bank card. I'll give you what I want. So you have to go and work and bring everything home. So it's a lot of things. Other things are caused by alcohol, my dear. They're getting drunk and they beat their husbands. And in front of their kids, that worries me, because they don't think that whatever they are doing in front of their kids affects their kids psychologically.
And I suppose the danger here is the shame that comes with that. Men are not likely to report these cases.
They don't talk. That's why every time it's all about women, because Atina, we are vocal. You know us, we are vocal. And then men, they don't talk because they're scared even to go and open cases, because the police are laughing at them or their friends are laughing at them. So the best way to do now is to kill themselves. Rate of suicide is mostly men.
Miss Cynthia, I've got a call from a regular caller of ours, Ndate Selby, who's on the line with us. Ndate Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Ndate Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure. Miss Cynthia, how are you today?
I'm good, and you, Ndate Selby?
I'm blessed beyond measure. Ah, you are a brave woman.
Mm. Thank you so much.
You are a brave woman. I'm touched by what you are doing. You remind me of my grandmother. Even though she was not educated, but she was as brave as you are.
Thank you, Dick.
You know what you are doing. It's even if you helped one. Not many, not as many as you helped. Even if you managed to help one, you did something big. Now, out of the many people that you have helped, you have built our country. Because those people whom you have helped, they are going to help so many people. Because we have built their mind, we have built their conscience. You have not just only helped them, but you have built their conscience. They are going to build a better South Africa tomorrow. Thank you, Miss Cynthia. I love you.
I love you too, Ndate Selby. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ndate Selby. You know, it's a difficult one because, as you're saying, Miss Cynthia, that, you know, you are not getting funding because the requirements don't make sense to your lived experience with people who are suffering. Do people come back and say thank you, those who get up on their feet again?
Yes, my dear. You know, on the 11th of April this year, I went to the UK to get the UK an award, yes. Who nominated me? The same white people that I helped in my house. Wow. They recognized me outside the country. Today, I'm in Ghana being recognized again by the same people, nominated by the same people that I helped. Out of 132 countries on Saturday, I got number one, South Africa. You understand? So I'm coming back on Wednesday with my award from Ghana saying, Cynthia, keep it up. So they are coming back to say thank you in different ways, my dear.
So in the meantime, what are your pressing needs? Of course, I imagine it's financial support, but would you expand the property if you could?
Yes. They are selling the house next door to us.
Oh, wow.
We need people to help us to buy the house. And then we need transport to take the children to school. Remember, I'm not staying with children that are not attending school. They come there. They were not attending school before, but when they reach my house, I make sure that they go to school because I need them to have a better future.
And for now, all of this you are doing from donations and just generous people.
Yes.
Yeah. You said you don't want to tell me how.
People are crying when they've got three children in the house.
I cry because I've got two. I've got two and
a large box for them Monday to Monday. What about me? Yeah.
I cannot imagine.
It's painful. And you know, I knocked to some of the doors of the government, even though it's not social development, but the doors were shuttered on my face.
Really?
So, but I said to myself, you know what? Let me do what God wants me to do and forget about all these people. they are doing other, when you go there, ask, you know what, my children doesn't have petrol to go to school tomorrow. Can you help me with only 200 rand to put petrol? No, we don't have. Cynthia is asking for money to go to Ghana. It's another story again. They don't want to help. If I don't have petrol, my dear, my children don't go to school. Mm. Because how are they going to go to school? Mm. You understand? Mm. These are some of the problems that I encounter almost every day.
Mm. The kind of pain that you see and the problems that you see, people coming in who have hurt one another, I mean, does that still leave you with some hope?
Yeah, it leaves me with some hope, because nowadays we are doing awareness. Mm. Awareness so that people can know that they don't have to do this, they don't have to do that. Because before, we never had awareness. You know, if you go to KZN, I'm sorry to mention KZN, and you find a man beating a woman, then what are you saying? Oh, umfazi uyashawa, it's fine. You understand? And why I appointed KZN is because I've got women from KZN in my house. I've got women from Limpopo. I've got women from Eastern Cape, all over South Africa. Because when they hear me talking on radio stations, they run away. They run for their lives, saying to me, Cynthia, we are coming there because here the police are not arresting our husband and our life are at stake. So you go to all the police station around Johannesburg, you'll find my numbers on their notice boards.
Are there people who, you know, ladies who come to the shelter, and you were saying earlier that people drop cases. You mentioned this to another media house, that people, you know, get help and then they decide, no, I don't want to continue with this anymore. I want to abandon the case. Do you see a lot of that yourself?
Not a lot, but it's happening. No, before it was maybe in a month it will be one, but now since this year, I never had someone that is dropping the cases. Because I give them examples every day when they come to the house.
Because I wanted
said
to
there
ask,
was a woman that was...
Sorry, ma'am. I wanted to know why they do it.
Yeah, there was a woman that I was staying with. Mm. It's a white woman. She was pregnant. Mm. And then after that, after she got healed, then she said to me, no, me and my husband, we have sorted things out. She said, I must come back home. Then the woman went back. I said, we won't force you to stay, but know that if a person tried to kill you, next time he won't try, he will kill you. Mm-hmm. So he said, no. We spoke about it. No, I'm going back. Then I said, okay, if you go back, don't come back. Mm. She went. After 3 months, that woman was shot dead by the same husband. Mm. So I tell everyone that example every day that... men don't change. Do you think after going out for 3 months or 4 months to a shelter, then when you come back, you think things will still be the same? So we tell them, we teach them about gender-based violence and the cycle of violence, because today a man will beat you blue-black, tomorrow he'll buy you a Lamborghini. Then you forget about the pain, you concentrate on the Lamborghini. The following day, he will kill you. There won't be any Lamborghini again.
Wow. I'm absolutely struck by the work that you're doing. And I mean, we don't have anything to give you. We would love to give you. But I know that people listen and people may want to contribute in whatever way. How do people get hold of your community? How do we get hold of your home and yourselves to give some assistance?
Okay, they will use my number that I'm going to give them now, because it's a safe house. Mm-hmm. For you to come, you need to make an appointment.
Yes.
My number is 067 791 4737, and the other one is 7784665.
Okay. Gosh, it's been such an eye-opener talking to you. I really appreciate you giving us your time. Continue doing amazing work. You really are a shining light in our society. Thank you, Miss Cynthia.
You are welcome, my dear. You are welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Cynthia is the founder of Tsokofatso Rona, a welfare and community organization. And here are the numbers. The numbers are 067-791-4737. Another number, 073-778-4665. This is obviously a number for those who want to assist. And again, also a number for those who may need the shelter. So that's the number that we've just given you. That's Cynthia Dinalani, who is the founder of Tsokofatso Rona Welfare and Community Organization. That brings us to the end of the show, folks. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.